Okay. So, just learning through Sefer Bereishis, there's two cases in this week's parsha and last week's parsha, this week's parsha and last week's parsha that connect to the sugyas that we're learning. So, I figured let's just speak it over. So, last week's parsha, so this is a shayla, Rav Chaim Kanievsky asks, someone that comes to the shir shared with me the shayla. Then Rav Chaim Kanievsky asks a shayla, last week's parsha, why did Avram Avinu, when he decided to buy the Maris Machpelah, why did he decide to call together all of the Bnei Ches? Everyone from the... Oh, this is Rabbi Ephraim Shtickel. So why did he decide to call in everyone together and to just buy the real estate, you know, go to the owner and say, I want to buy it, I'll buy it. So, right? I want to buy it in front of everybody. So, Rabbi Ephraim shared with me from Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky says that the reason why Avram Avinu Dafko called together all the Bnei Ches in order to buy the property in front of them is because he was afraid that maybe at a later point the Bar Mitzvah would show up. The neighbor would show up. We learned about the Taina of the neighbor. So the Bar Mitzvah would show up and say, I want it. And he would have to give it to him. And now he has to give back the area, the property that Sarah's buried in to one of the Chitim. So he wanted to avoid any later claim of Bar Metzra, and therefore he invited everyone, if you have a claim, claim now, otherwise it's considered a mechila on your Bar Metzra rights. And Mamela...
Doesn't that only apply to Jews?
What?
Doesn't it only apply to Jews?
If you're buying from... it's an interesting point. It's a din in the moicher, it's a din in the buyer, that the buyer shouldn't do it. If the other potential buyer is a goy, l'chayr, you're right, but I guess he wanted to, it's midin yashav atoiv, so it's proper that he should do it with everybody. That's number one. Okay, number two, once we're on that topic, in this week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu calls over Esav, and he says, do you really want this b'chayra? All you get from this b'chayra is chayv misa, all you get from this b'chayra is danger, give it to me, if you're better off. And better yet, I'll give you a bowl of soup for it. Okay, good deal. Esav's convinced. And it's a good deal. So the question is, why isn't it Oina? Why isn't Yaakov Avinu doing Oina? We're learning that you're not allowed to take advantage of someone. The guy comes in, he's exhausted, he's tired. And he says, okay, look, the only way that I'm going to get some soup out of you is giving you the b'chayr, I'll give it to you, fine. So, l'chayr should be aina.
That
was worth to Esav. So there's two tirutzim. So one tirutzim is mamish the sugya we ended off last week. It's mamish the sugya we ended off last week. Last week we said that there's three exceptions to aina. Karka, avodim, and shtaros. Karka is real estate, avadim is slaves, and shtaros. Why shtaros? Shtaros documents, debt, because it's ain gufay mamon. Because it represents cash, but it's not really a monetary, you can't monetize it. So mamela, some say the b'chor is ain gufay mamon. It has value because someone would sell it for something, but it's not gufay mamon. Since it's not gufay mamon, so mamela is not even on that. But that only works if Yaakov Avinu held, not like the Ramban. But if you hold like the Ramban al Torah, we said that even though there's no Taina Vayna, but there's still an Isser Vayna. So maybe Yaakov Avinu probably didn't want to do the Isser. Right? So it would still be Osir. As we were talking about last week, the things that don't have specific cash value. They don't have a value internally. They just represent value. But the real answer is that we already had from the beginning of the sugya, if you remember, we had a sugya called Lididi Shavali. We had a sugya that if something is worth something to someone, you could charge them that amount. Not because they're desperate. If that's the value to that person. We give an example. Let's say you have a shtreimel. So for me, I walk in to buy a shama, I'm buying it as a perm costume. So for me, it's only worth $100. But someone else is actually going to wear it. For them, it's worth $1,000. It's actually worth that. I'm not taking advantage. It's worth different things to different people. Right? So we paskin, Rabbi Kivego brings down, that you could go by that price. The price that it's worth to each person, you're allowed to charge them. Right? You have a Sephardic person, for them the Kameya, is worth something. Ashkenaz don't care about that stuff. So, right, there's different values to different people. So, Yaakov Avinu offered the Bechorah to Esav. Esav, that was the value he had for it. Esav didn't have value in the Ruchnias. He only cares about the Gashmias. So for Esav, the actual value was less. It was worth the bowl of soup. Just like Lididi Shavali says, you could charge more. If it's worth more to someone, you're allowed to charge them more. If it's worth less for someone, the seller, you could pay less for it. So the Lididi Shavali would say that was the value for Esav. And I'll bring you a proof to it. Because it says, Vayakam Vayelech. What does it say? Vayoychal Vayesht. Right, it says, Vayoychal Vayesht. Vayakam Vayelech. Vayivez Esav Esav Bechera. No one take this the wrong way, but someone one time said that, those chever that they go to an event or whatever, kiddush, shal shudis, an event. And then so everyone eats and then they leave before the dratera. So the person said, I think the ikar was the ruchnius over here. I don't know what gashmius pishnaim. What was
the ikar for Yaakov? But there is still bechor rights that you can.
I don't know. You're saying he got pishnayim.
The bracha, whatever it is, and you get certain.
I don't know. I think the fight was about the ruchnius. So the fight was about the ruchnius. So the raya is that it says vayivez Esav is a bechora. He was mevazet. So how was he mevazet? Because after he left. Why does it say Vayoychal Vayesht, Vayakam Vayelech, then Vayivez? When was he Vayivez? When was he make a bezoyan? He disgraced the Bukhara. Before he ate. He disgraced the Bukhara by selling it for a bowl of soup. When's the disgrace for the Bukhara? You would tell me the disgrace is you're willing to sell it for a bowl of soup? What's the matter with you? But the Pasuk doesn't say that. It says he ate, he drank, he left, and then he was Mevaz in the Bukhara. Then he disgraced it. Why? So the answer is because after he finished eating, he walks outside to his friends, and his friends tell him, what just happened? He's like, you look really, you look full, you look good. He's like, I just got this great bowl of soup. So he says, really, Yaakov is such a nice guy. He says, yeah, you know what? I got such a good deal. I gave him this bologna b'chara, and he gave him a bowl of soup. In other words, Esav, even after the fact, believed that he got a good deal. So that's where the bezoyan happened. If he would have just sold it out of desperation, so if he wasn't mevazet before, we don't know what his attitude was. So the Torah can't say he was mevazet and then he ate. Because maybe it wasn't a bezoyan yet. Maybe it's because he was desperate, or maybe it's because, he needed some soup. So memela, that's not a bezoyan. Look, the guy's desperate, doesn't think clearly. And that would have been, I know, that's called Yaakov's taking advantage. But then the terrorist says he ate, he's full. He walks outside, and then he's busy telling everyone he got a great deal out of it. So that's a bezoyan. So you see from that that was the true value he had for it. So merely Yaakov's allowed to buy it, and it's not how you know.
At the end, when he goes to his father, he says that he tricked me. Right? He's called Yaakov. Why? For two reasons. Rashi is because, again.
Okay, so his things changed eventually, maybe.
Right.
But at that time.
Now he knows the value.
At that time he was mevazet.
Yeah, but nothing changed. He just didn't know the value until he realized later on.
Maybe he realized later on that he made him. That's like
No. It's like the zoning. It's same as the zoning.
It's not the same, because here, that was the value that he had for it. If you tell the guy, this is the zoning, and he's like, this guy thinks he's actually going to go through, because he's tipped off. He's an idiot. He's tipped off that the government thinks, look, one person will vote this way, they'll vote that way. This is never going to go through. I don't believe, right? That's really what it's like. And then afterwards, it goes through, and then he's like, hey, I made a mistake. There's no chesaron and disclosure over here. That's the point. So lechara, those are the two pshatim in Aina of the sale of Yaakov Avinu. So that's the chumash here for today. the two sugyas in the chumash. Okay, is there a what's it called, limitation? Statute of limitations of the Aina. A person realizes eventually that they got ripped off. A person eventually realizes they got ripped off. So can they come back a year later? Can they come back? What's the limit that you can come back and claim the Aina? Okay? So let's start off with an example. Two examples. One is in the Pesachei Tshuva, and one is a Shaila that one of the Dayanim in Meisharim told me he had the Shaila. So one shaila is that a guy, the Pesachei Tshuva, brings down a shaila from the Mishkanes Yaakov, that it says that that a person was in a port. He was buying a boat, Mishimin. He was buying a boat. So he tells the guy tells him, look, this is the value. And he says, okay, look, let me just, you know, he describes to him the boat. I can't really see it. I'm going, you know, I would really like to look into it. He calls up a friend of his, or he sends a shliach that's there. The guy says, more or less, it looks like the value. And he buys the boat, and he ends up realizing that it's really not worth the amount that he paid. Can he come back later and demand either of his money or a bittel of the sale? Negate the sale. Now, we learned last week that a contractor also has Aina. There's Aina in contractors. A guy is hired to do a job, and he's hired to be paid $2,500. Which is, for argument's sake, it was probably a lot more, but $2,500. Lemaisa, halfway through the job, he realizes that really the market went up a lot, and he could be charging for this job $5,000. So can he stop halfway through the job? Say, look, you paid me $2,500. That's really what it's worth. I'm not going to do more work until you pay me the full amount. I want you're doing. I know we're in the middle of the transaction, so you know, you're my enemy. You took advantage. I worked the amount I gave you the amount of work that what you paid me is worth, and I don't want to do more. Okay, so. To understand the shaila is like this. There's a Mishnah that says, Ad Masai Yochol Lachzar Vilitvaya Aina Asai. How long are you allowed to be Tevaya? So the Gemara says, Ad Kadesh Yira Latagar Ole Kroivai. Assuming that the case is that the Tevaya of the Aina is on the Lakeach. The Lakeach, the buyer, was the one that got ripped off. In other words, he paid too much. So he has the item. Now he wants to verify, did I overpay? So what's he going to do? He's going to take the watch to a few of his friends. How much do you think I should have paid for this? $1,000. What do you think I should have paid? $1,100. What do you think I should have paid? $900. Okay. How much did you pay? $2,000. Okay. So he realizes that he overpaid very quickly, right? So the amount of time that it would take for you to find somebody that knows the market well enough and you could share with them what you paid so that you could find out comparables and did you overpay. Nowadays, this amount of time is very minimal, right? Because it's a phone call away, or it may not be a phone call, just to show them the item. Okay, so drive over, you know. It's not more than a day or two. Not more than a day or two. Especially Amazon, you go on and check this.
Google.com.
What?
Google.com.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying, how long does it take you to type in Google.com and whatever? So now, that might not be exact. You know, it depends. But yeah, if you're buying a very, very box, you know, very, you know, you bought a toy, you know, a very specific item, then you're right. So that's the amount of time. What happens after that? We assume you're Michael. If you didn't come after the Zman that you could have checked it out, that means either one of two things. Either it means you checked it out and you were Meichel, or you didn't bother checking it out, which also means you're Meichel. So either way, we assume there was a Mechila. Okay? Now, what about the other way around? What if the Oina is on the Meicher? That means that he got ripped off. He undercharged. So what's... Now he doesn't have the item anymore. So how long does it... What's the shear? You know, there's the other guy could go shop around the item and see what's the moicher going to do. So there, it's much longer because it takes. It's the moicher has to go. He doesn't realize, and therefore it's until another deal like this would come up, or until the market, you know, another deal like this would come up or would have crossed his path that we would have known that he would then realize that he underpaid. He undercharged. Okay. Now let's just go in a few more cases just to bring out the point. What happens if he's an oines? It's not possible. It's not possible for me to find anybody right now. Why not? Because let's say the lokeach, the guy that was nisane, he has the item. He overpaid, but it's not possible. It's an oines. Why? In those days, the case was there's no tagarim in the city. The tagarim come only on, you know, Rosh Chodesh. That's when there's a shuk. There's no shuk other than that. Now, nowadays, what's the case? The case could be when you're talking about a seasonal item. Talking about a seasonal, I overpaid for a matzah cover. It's Chol Hamoed. I bought it Erev Pesach. There's no market for this till next year. I mean, how am I going to find out the price? Or something like that. You could have it with a seasonal item, or you could have it with a service like that. There's a tree services that they only do it, you know, now in November. I don't know exactly how to find out. You know, it could be like that, that it's not so poshut to prepare. What if you're an oinus? So if you're an oinus, there's no limit anymore. You don't lose your time. If you're an oinus, you don't lose your time limit, okay? Now, what happens if after the oinus you found out? You were oinus in the beginning, but then you found out later. So interestingly, it's considered, according to most shitas, only if you can prove. We don't assume there's a mechila. Why? Because the guy would say, I never bothered checking because I assumed you wouldn't have believed me that I couldn't do it before. I was stuck in jail. I don't know. I couldn't do it before. So if he's nenas in the beginning, then the halacha is that he doesn't lose his man. All right. Now, Rabbi Kiviger says, if there's no people here to check it out, you're not mechuyev to run to a different city to check it out. It's where it's easy to find out the price. Again, in our markets, it's not so shaykh, but it could be possible. Now, here's where it comes interesting case. Big machlokes in the poiskim, and it's very interesting lumnis, and this will be in a get to the two cases we spoke about. It sounds like this. What happens in a case where I made a kinyan, you delivered and everything like that, but the lokeach, the guy who bought it, didn't pay yet. He made a kinyan, but he didn't pay yet. What's the halacha? Now, he waited way after the zman of Kadesh Yira Latagal Krevai. He waited. But after that time, he realizes that he was swindled, and the price is not a good price. Do you say, you're Moichel, you agreed to the price, you made a kinyan, the time passed, we assume there's a mechila, so now you have to pay, even though what you're paying now is way over the price? Or do you say, not like that? So Poshup Shah, you should say, you made the kinyan, you're mechuyev to pay, even though it's over, even if you found out that it's you overpaid, you agreed to a bad price, but if you agreed and the zman passed, you have to pay. It doesn't feel good, right? It doesn't feel that great, that you know that you're paying too much, but you got to pay. But there's two svaras in the poskim that say you don't have to pay. One svar is from the shach. The shach says a migu. You know what migu is? Migu means you have to believe me what I'm saying, because if I was lying, I could say something else. I could say something better. So you should believe me that I wasn't Meichel, because if I wanted to lie, I would tell you that I paid already. I wouldn't pay you at all. I'm willing to come pay you, but I'm only willing to pay you the right price. I don't want to pay over. And I'm not moichel that. And believe me that I'm not moichel migu that I could say I paid you already. Now, obviously, that doesn't work in every case. What?
Unless the guy has stars, maybe.
Right, exactly. I mean, what about in our case? I invoiced you the amount. I mean, when you paid. You didn't pay. If you would have paid, you got a receipt. Right? Or if there's a star. Or in another case, let's say I didn't pay you full, and there's an invoiced amount that there's a balance. I mean, it won't work in every case. But there's a very geshmak svar, the Pischei Tshuva. It's a two-column long Pischei Tshuva. You know those Pischei Tshuvas, like the two-column long one? So there's a very long Pischei Tshuva that brings from the Shaar Mishpat, Rebbe Akiva Eiger, and a few other Achronim on different svara. And I think this svar is very logical. Does Olam have a different svara? Very logical, Poshet svar. That maybe the guy says, that I didn't bother check. I'm not going to bother showing it around and shopping around until I pay you. The mechila clock only starts ticking after I pay you. And now I'm nervous. Now I want to go double check. And I want to make sure I can still have a schus to get back my money. If I didn't even give you the money yet, so what, I have to go find out if you swindled me? I didn't even pay you yet. So the clock, it's not that if I really cared, I would have checked it out. I only start caring after I pay you. Till I pay you, I don't feel threatened. So till I pay...
If you care so much, you have to find out what you have to pay. And make sure
before I pay, I'll find out. But don't tell me that...
That was before you pay.
Exactly, but it's still before. But even if it took me four... Let's say this Zman HaKadosh year is one day. I didn't pay, it's 4 days later. You don't say, after one day, you're moichel. I'm not moichel until I pay. So if it's on the fourth day, I find out that it's a bad price. So right now, I'm machbid, I don't want to pay you. There's chayvus, but the amount of mechila didn't start yet. Because the mechila is only after you pay. Now you want to make sure you still have a schus to get back your money. Otherwise, you're meichel right away. But don't tell me I'm meichel just because I agreed. The mechila only starts if I paid already. This is Rabbi Akiva Eiger's svara, the Shaar Mishpat svara. And the nafkamina would be like this case if there's a shtar. Even if it shows me that I paid, that I didn't pay, right? The Pischei Tshuva brings about another svara. Is mechayev shvua. He has a svara. What if he paid and took back the money? Different nafkaminas, but I think the point is, if you didn't pay yet, then you don't assume that the mechila clock started ticking yet. Okay? It's only if you already paid. Well,
sounds like on some level you're eviscerating the kinyan. It's like mishapara. I mean, you made a kinyan.
You made a real kinyan here, more than mishapara,
right? Right. You made a real kinyan, and yet you're saying nope, but it doesn't start until you actually.
No, because here's a different point.
The whole point of the kinyan is for the mammon. That's the whole point, ultimately, why you're doing the kinyan. Now we're saying, okay, and I made a kinyan, but okay, I don't have to pay.
The whole thing is telling on the guy's
mechila. It's a mechila. It's the opposite. Who's the mukhtak here? You're right, but you have to prove that I'm meichel and I wasn't meichel.
I'm saying I wasn't meichel. You're saying I was meichel. How do you know I was
meichel? The zman came. The mechila doesn't. You don't kick in mechila until I pay, and now I'm nervous about losing my money. No, the kinyan vayna is totally mechila. Okay. So that depends on the lumdas. Maybe it depends on the lumdas that we're going to say. But now, by the way, in the sefer in the sefer Mishkan is Yaakov. The Mishkan is Yaakov. He has a gevaldika svara, another svara why it shouldn't work. It's a gevaldika svara. It's a gevaldika svara, but no one else says it. So the question is why no one else says it. That's for a different time. But the Mishkan is Yaakov is a third svara why. If you didn't pay, then the mechila will go on for a long time. You have a schus to get back your money or not to pay, you know, even if it's a long time later. So if you buy on credit and then you find out way later that you were overcharged, you don't have to pay. Now, by the way, what it means you don't have to pay means you could pay the true value, but if the true value is more than a sixth, you're overcharged by more than 16%, then the moira could demand and say, oh, you don't want it, so give me back the item. You can't necessarily say, oh, I'm not moichel, so here, I'm only paying you that amount. No. If you're not moichel, so then give me back the item. I'm not selling it to you for that price. And what could happen in the meanwhile is that prices could change. It could be there's inflation. He doesn't want to sell it to you for that. Fine, I'll sell it to someone else. Right? So you don't have a right necessarily to keep it and only pay less. Okay?
So, now. And today's world where a used item is worth.
Well, if it's you. Oh. Yeah, okay. Now, if you use it after you find out, that's another story. If you use it after you know, that's, obviously that's a mechila. But right, no. If you use it after you found out that you overcharged, paid, yeah, that would be an understood mechila.
Use it before.
No, if you use it before, then no.
Demands it back. So you have to give back a new one. You give back the same.
No, you give back that one.
It's used. It's not worth. It's not worth.
You want to know if you pay rent? Maybe pay rent. I don't know. Maybe you pay for the usage. Maybe not. Listen to this svara. The Mishkan is Yaakov says a Gevaldik Svara. He says, if you didn't pay yet, didn't we learn the first week that the Gemara Bo Metzia Daf Samach Aleph says that Oina is learned out of Lo Sigzol? It's Gzela, right? So he says, so what's the Moicher tining? What's the seller saying? You're Moichel. You're Moichel. So if you're Moichel, so pay me. So he says, that's like someone saying, you're Moichel me already. You're Moichel, so let me steal from you. You can't be Michael the money that was stolen until it's stolen. you can't say, I make a declaration like a Maidar Rabbah, if you anyone that steals from me, I'm Michael. I mean, you can't be Michael money that's stolen until it's stolen. So he says, so Memela, he says, how could this Mechila, before he pays, how could that even work anyway? If he didn't pay yet, you can't have Mechila on that. Pashat Svara. Oh, so Chayra, why didn't anyone else say this? Is because the Geneva of Aina is not about the dollars and cents. The Geneva of the Aina is about entering into an unfair deal with me. You stole, the Geneva is, the deal itself is Geneva. So and that happened already. And the fact that you entered into me, you were machayiv me into an unfair transaction, that's really where the Geneva is. It's not so much just about the money. But it's interesting svara, he says. Of course it can't work to say, I'm Moichel, and the Moichel's going to, you're a Moichel, so now let me steal from you. You know, like that story with the Chafetz Chaim, that the guy comes to the Chafetz Chaim, whatever, the joke, I don't know. He says, he comes to the Rav and he says, give me a bracha for my parnasa starting the new year. He says, your parnasa, you're a ganif. Why do you steal from people and give you a bracha? He says, look, it's about to be Rosh Hashanah. Whoever has a gzeir in Shemayim that they have to get money stolen from, let it be from me. So he says you can't make a mechila on a geneva that didn't happen yet. That's his svar. Okay, so now Rabbi Greenspan wanted to taina, who's the dayan. So he says. So you hired someone and to do work for cheap, and it's way less than the going rate. So halfway in the middle of the job, he realizes that he got swindled into doing a job for a price that's not the fair price. Can he walk away? So essentially, let's go the other way around for a second, because you know who's the seller and who's the buyer by services, right? So Pashtus, the seller is the worker and the buyer is the so therefore it's a little more see in the sign of the moicher is a little more complicated. Let's say it's in the sign of the lekech. Let's say the other way around. So let's say the guy was overcharged. The Baal Bayis was overcharged for work. And now the contractor did the work already. So that's a little more complicated, right? Because you now he finds out before he pays that he was overcharged, and he agreed to the price. But now he realizes he's way overcharged over the market. Now, assuming, like we said, whenever we said anything about Ana, we always said you have to compare apples to apples. So two contractors, it could be that Bechlal, I don't know if you can even compare two people. Every two people, their work is different, quality and service, and then, so everyone's going to say, well, you're not getting the same thing. That's not the going rate for my service. You know what you're getting from me? That's the charge, right? But maybe you can compare work that he did himself for someone else. In other words, he himself charged you more because he felt he could take advantage of you. He walked into you and you realized, oh, this guy I could charge more than that guy, or something like that. So there's a case of Aina. Let's say there's a case of Aina when he overcharged, and he took more than right, and he already gave you the item, but you never paid. So first of all, if there's aina, it means you don't have to pay more than the aina, and you don't even have to pay more than 16%. You could just go down to the going rate. And if you didn't pay yet, even if it's way after a day, two, three, after Kadesh Yireh, if you didn't pay, until you pay, you have the right to verify that this is the going rate, and then only after you pay do you lose the rights to be Tevei Da'ina. Okay? This is important halacha. Now, what about the other way around? What about if the guy was underpaid? So Rabbi Greenstein wanted to taina that if he was underpaid, he could take a stop working in the middle. Because it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Since he was underpaid, and he didn't finish the job yet, so he's still in the middle, so therefore there's no zman of mechila, and since he wasn't meichel necessarily until he finishes the work, so he was never meichel. So I'm not meichel, I don't agree, and now retroactively, I don't agree to that deal, and if you don't want to pay me more, then I'll take the money you gave me for half the work.
In that case, is the person already been, has the contractor already been
paid? He's been paid. In this case, the other way around. He was paid for the half. Now he doesn't want to do the second half of the work. So you say, well, you were Michael that half already. You got paid for half, you got paid, you took the money already. You took the money for all the work. So he says, since I didn't give you the item, it's the other way around. I took the money, but I didn't give you the item. There's also, I didn't lose my Mechila rights. Here's really the other way around. We didn't really speak this out. What happens if you prepaid and then you realize, oh, now also there's no mechila until you, and that's more pasha because you said there's only a kinyan for mishapara, so that's even more pasha that if you paid and then you realize no, nah, you don't, the clock doesn't start ticking until you receive the item. Okay, so that would be nagia over there in that case also. So most of these, you know, I think these cases could happen. And it's nagia to know. Now, two more points. Interesting case. And in today's environment, that things change so rapidly, you could see it happening. What happens? Someone someone sells something for cheap. So he rips off the buyer. He sells it to him for cheap, for expensive. The buyer overpaid. So let's just take a simple item. Item was worth $10, and this guy paid $12. He took it home, he paid. Now, within that time period of Mechila, called 2 days, within that time period, prices change. Now the item's worth $15. Right? You following? So now the buyer got ripped off, essentially. Because now the buyer sold an item worth 15 for 12. In the meanwhile, he was trying to rip off the buyer. Now the seller got ripped off. Because now the seller ended up undercharging. It was an item that was worth 15. So do you say, well, look, it's within the Zman that we could still go back. So I also want to go back now. You see what I'm saying?
So it's the giver of the item.
What? But can he demand to give back the item? Now, forget. Now the buyer wants to keep it. Now the seller is saying, "Okay, since it's within that time period that you could claim to get it back, I also want it back now." So really, right? So Rabbeinu Yonah says that the lumdus is theoretically that till the zman of Kadesh Yireh, the sale is not really final. That's really the lumdus here. The
lumdus, unilaterally.
Right. So technically, unilaterally, the sale is not final. So there will be room to say that even the other guy can now switch his mind. So this is like the Esav case. Let's say Esav would have walked out, and he wasn't Vayivez. Let's say he would have walked out, and he would have, and the guy's, you crazy? You're out of your mind? That's what you did? There's a famous story, I didn't get off tangent, but there's a Maisa with one of the big tzaddikim. I don't know, but basically, that there was a guy that came to the tzaddik for a bracha for parnasa, and he gives him one ruble or whatever. And he's like, this ruble is going to make you rich. Rebbe, come on. What are you going to... He says, I'm telling you, the first transaction that you could do with this, do it and you'll see payers. Whatever the first transaction that comes, you know, do it. So this guy's walking in the street and he's looking for a deal for a ruble. Everyone's looking like it. So he sees this rich guy, and he says, "Do you have any business for me for a ruble?" He says, "Why would you do this? If the Rebbe told me I'm going to become rich with the ruble, you and your Rebbe's. Okay, you know what? I have a good deal for you. You could buy my Olam Haba for a ruble." Uh-huh. So the guy says, "Fine." So he says, fine. The Rebbe told me, I don't know how I'm going to come rich from this, but he bought this guy's Olam Haba for a ruble. So then the guy goes home, and he tells his wife, "I just saw this idiot outside. He's talking about his Rebbe and whatever, and I got this ruble here. You could have it. What'd you do? How'd you get the ruble? I sold my Olam Haba." "You out of your mind? You sold your Olam Haba for a ruble? Go buy it back." So the rich guy goes back to the man, and he says, "I want my Olam Haba back. Here, take your ruble." "No, it's mine. Give me for 10 rubles." "No, 1,000 rubles." "No, 1,000,000 rubles." So he buys it back eventually, and the guy became rich from the transaction. Right? So the point is, if after the fact, within the Zman, right? So now, technically, Rabbi Yoina learns that until the Kadesh Yira, the deal is not final. Until the Kadesh Yira, the deal is not final. Technically, if it switches, the other guy should be able to be Chayzer. However, we say, a takana, shelo yechayta niskar. Can't be that the guy who's doing the chayt, the avera, is getting a better end of the deal now because of that. If he wouldn't have ripped the guy off and he would have sold 12 for 12, and then it went up, he wouldn't be able to have a claim. But now because he did onah, now he has a claim to get it back. We can't protect him. We're just going to motivate people to do averis. So we cannot protect the guy who did the onah and give him better rights on his items, that in case they go up, now he only has the upside. So we don't do that. So if you, the guy who does the onah does not have the rights to, during the time of the Kadesh Yira, to demand back the to negate the sale. If it, right in that case, but the other person he could decide. So therefore,
isn't that a contradiction to what we just learned?
I was saying that theoretically it's still open, but Chazal didn't want the guy who did the avera to take advantage of that, and therefore they limited his rights.
And in that zman, do we know how much of that time is?
In every industry, it would be different.
And what happens during
It's very short. It's not very long.
But in that time, market conditions change.
Well, that's what we're saying. So now, in that time, market conditions change dramatically. If that's a reason for the guy who originally did the onah, does not get any schus in that time. He doesn't really have a schus in that time. Unless if markets change. If markets, right, we don't give him an extra schus because the market changed. Now that because you did the onah, now you're going to end up on top. We don't do that. That's the idea.
But what if it's the opposite? Because he was really ripping off the guy.
Right.
But market conditions changed, gave this guy a big bracha, and the other guy was on top. Does he get to come back?
That's what I'm saying. He can't.
He can't. Okay.
Because had he made a fair deal, he wouldn't be able to do it. Yeah. So now because he did an unfair deal, he could do it. It wouldn't be right. Okay. Right? It wouldn't be right. Now. Okay, fine. So that's important. Now, same thing, by the way. What happens if the seller got? What happens if during the time period it changes, and that's what motivates the person to let's say at the time it was by the case of the moicher, the seller sells something, and in the meanwhile, the price goes up, so he decides, "Hey, now I want to change my mind." Obviously, you cannot use later factors to change your mind. That's pretty obvious. Okay, so that would be the halacha. Okay, fine. So that's that. I think we have one more ikar sugya on onah, and then we're going to get into a whole sugya. Which is tangential to this, but it's a whole different inyan, is mekach tois. In other words, right now we're talking about when the entire problem in the sale is just the price. But there's a whole other section of the halacha, which is what happens if the problem with the sale is that the item is faulty, is defective. It's not what I had in mind. It's not what I bought. So we'll talk about that. That will be the next subject, which we'll get to eventually later. Okay, Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.
Shkoyach. What?
Can a message be enough?